studying his notes religiously, suddenly fascinated by his own handwriting. But it's all right. We've been expecting some destructive tendencies. You've been having one hell of a week.
Are you a psychologist?
Sort of.
He brushes the hair away from his forehead.
Sort of?
He laughs, pauses, rolls the pen between his fingers.
Yes, for all intents and purposes, I am a psychologist. Sometimes.
What is that supposed to mean? He parts his lips, presses them shut, seems to consider answering me but examines me instead. He stares for so long I feel my face go hot. He starts scribbling furiously.
What am I doing here? I ask him. Recovering.
How long have I been here?
You've been asleep for almost 14 hours. We gave you a pretty powerful sedative.
Looks at his watch.
You seem to be doing well?
Hesitates.
You look very well, actually. Stunning, really.
I have a handful of scrambled words in my mouth, a blush flushing up my face.
Where's Adam?
He takes a deep breath, underlines something on his papers. His lips twitch into a smile.
Where is he? Recovering.
He finally looks up. He's okay? Nods.
He's okay.
I stare at him. What does that mean? Two knocks at the door. The bespectacled stranger doesn't move. He rereads his notes.
Come in,
he calls. Kenji walks inside, a little hesitant at first. He peeks at me, his eyes cautious. I never thought I'd be so happy to see him. But while it's a relief to see a face I recognize, my stomach immediately twists into a knot of guilt, knocking me over from the inside. I wonder how badly I must have hurt him. He steps forward. My guilt disappears. I look more closely and realize he's perfectly unharmed. His leg is working fine. His face is back to normal. His eyes are no longer puffy. His forehead is repaired, smooth, untouched. He was right. He does have a spectacular face. A defiant jawline, perfect eyebrows, eyes as pitch black as his hair, sleek, strong, a bit dangerous.
Hey, beautiful.
I'm sorry I almost killed you, I blurt out.
Oh,
he startles, shoves his hands into his pockets.
Well, glad we got that out of the way.
I notice he's wearing a destroyed t-shirt, dark jeans. I haven't seen anyone wear jeans in such a long time. Army uniforms, cotton basics, and fancy dresses are all I've known lately. I can't really look at him. I panicked, I try to explain. I clasp and unclasp my fingers.
I figured.
He cocks an eyebrow. I'm sorry.
I know.
I nod. You look better. He cracks a grin, stretches, leans against the wall, arms crossed at his chest, legs crossed at the ankles.
This must be difficult for you.
Excuse me?
Looking at my face? Realizing I was right, realizing you made the wrong decision.
He shrugs.
I understand. I'm not a proud man, you know. I'd be willing to forgive you.
I gape at him, unsure whether to laugh or throw something. Don't make me touch you. He shakes his head.
It's incredible how someone can look so right and feel so wrong. Kent is a lucky bastard.
I'm sorry. Psychologist man stands up. Are you two finished here? He looks to Kenji.
I thought you had a purpose.
Kenji pushes off the wall, straightens his back.
Right, yeah. Castle wants to meet her.
Chapter 44.
Now?
Blondie is more confused than I am.
But I'm not done examining her.
Kenji shrugs.
He wants to meet her.
Who's Castle? I ask. Blondie and Kenji look at me. Kenji looks away. Blondie doesn't. He cocks his head.
Kenji didn't tell you anything about this place?
No, I falter, uncertain, glancing at Kenji, who won't look at me. He never explained anything. He said he knew someone who had a safe place and thought he could help us. Blondie gapes, laughs so hard he snorts, stands up, cleans his glasses with the hem of his shirt. You're such an ass, he says to Kenji. Why didn't you just tell her the truth? Ah, she never would have come if I told her the truth. How do you know? She nearly killed me! My eyes are darting from one face to the other, blonde hair to black hair and back again. What is going on? I demand. I want to see Adam. I want to see James. And I want a set of clothes. You're naked? Kenji is suddenly studying my sheet and not bothering to be subtle about it. I flush despite my best efforts, flustered, frustrated. Blondie said they destroyed my clothes. Blondie? Blonde man is offended. You never told me your name. Winston. My name is Winston. He's not smiling anymore. Didn't you say you had a suit for me? He frowns, checks his watch.
We won't have time to go through that right now.
Sighs.
Get her something to wear temporarily, will you?
He's talking to Kenji. Kenji, who is still staring at me. I want to see Adam.
Adam isn't ready to see you yet.
Blondie. Winston tucks his pen into a pocket.
We'll let you know when he's ready.
How am I supposed to trust any of you if you won't even let me see him? If you won't let me see James? I don't even have my basic things. I want to get out of this bed, and I need something to wear.
Go fetch Moto.
Winston is readjusting his watch.
I'm not your dog, Blondie, Kenji snaps, and I told you not to call me Moto.
Winston pinches the bridge of his nose.
No problem. I'll also tell Castle it's your fault she's not meeting with him right now.
Kenji mutters something obscene under his breath, stalks off, almost slams the door. A few seconds pass in a strained sort of silence. I take a deep breath. So, what's Moto mean? Winston rolls his eyes.
Nothing. It's just a nickname. His last name is Kishimoto. He gets mad when we chop it in half, gets sensitive about it.
Well, why do you chop it in half? He snorts.
Because it's hard as hell to pronounce.
How is that an excuse? He frowns.
What?
You got mad that I called you Blondie and not Winston. Why doesn't he have the right to be mad that you're calling him Moto instead of Kenji? He mumbles something that sounds like,
it's not the same thing.
I slide down a little, rest my head on the pillow. Don't be a hypocrite. Chapter 45. I feel like a clown in these oversized clothes. I'm wearing someone else's t-shirt, someone else's pajama pants, someone else's slippers. Kenji says they had to destroy the clothes in my duffel bag, too, so I have no idea whose outfit is currently hanging on my frame. I'm practically swimming in the material. I try to knot the extra fabric, and Kenji stops me. You're going to mess up my shirt, he complains. I drop my hands. You gave me your clothes?
Well, what did you expect? It's not like we have extra dresses just lying around.
He shoots me a look like I should be grateful he's even sharing. Well, I guess it's better than being naked.
So who's Castle again? He's in charge of everything, Kenji tells me. The head of this entire movement.
My ears snap off. Movement? Winston sighs. He seems so uptight. I wonder why.
If Kenji hasn't already told you anything, you should probably wait to hear it from Castle himself. Hang tight. I promise we're going to answer your questions.
But what about Adam? Where is James?
Wow.
Winston runs a hand through his floppy hair.
You're just not going to give up, huh?
He's fine, Juliet, Kenji intervenes. He needs a little more time to recover. You have to start trusting us. No one here is going to hurt you or Adam or James. They're both fine. Everything is fine. But I don't know if fine is good enough. We're walking through an entire city underground, hallways and passageways, smooth stone floors, rough walls left untouched. There are circular discs drilled into the ground, glowing with artificial light every few feet. I notice computers, all kinds of gadgets I don't recognize. Doors cracked open to reveal rooms filled with nothing but technological machinery. How do you find the electricity necessary to run this place? I look more closely at the unidentifiable machines, the flickering screens, the unmistakable humming of hundreds of computers built into the framework of this underground world. Kenji tugs on a stray strand of my hair. I spin around.
"We steal it," he grins, nods down a narrow path. "This way."
People both young and old and of all different shapes and ethnicities shuffle in and out of rooms all along the halls. Many of them stare. Many of them are too distracted to notice us. Some of them are dressed like the men and women who rushed out to our car last night. It's an odd kind of uniform. It seems unnecessary.
"So everyone dresses like that?"
I whisper, gesturing to the passing strangers as inconspicuously as possible. Kenji scratches his head, takes his time answering.
"Not everyone, but not all the time."
"What about you?" I ask him.
"Not today."
I decide not to indulge his cryptic tendencies and instead ask a more straightforward question. "So are you ever going to tell me how you healed so quickly?"
"Yes," Kenji says, unfazed. "We're going to tell you a lot of things, actually."
We make an abrupt turn down an unexpected hallway.
"But first,"
Kenji pauses outside of a huge wooden door.
"Castle wants to meet you. He's the one who requested you."
"Requested?"
"Yeah."
Kenji looks uncomfortable for just a wavering second.
"Wait, what do you mean?" "I mean, it wasn't an accident that I ended up in the army, Juliet."
He sighs.
"It wasn't an accident that I showed up at Adam's door, and I wasn't supposed to get shot or get beaten half to death, but I did. Only I wasn't dropped off by some random dude."
He almost grins.
"I've always known where Adam lived. It was my job to know."
A pause.
"We've all been looking for you."
My mouth is sitting on my kneecaps.
"Go ahead." Kenji pushes me inside. "He'll be out when he's ready. Good luck,"
is all Winston says to me. 1,320 seconds walk into the room before he does. He moves methodically, his face a mask of neutrality as he brushes wayward dreadlocks into a ponytail and seats himself at the front of the room. He's thin, fit, impeccably dressed in a simple suit. Dark blue, white shirt, no tie. There are no lines on his face, but there's a streak of silver in his hair, and his eyes confess he's lived at least 100 years. He must be in his 40s. I look around. It's an empty space, impressive in its sparseness. The floors and ceilings are built by bricks carefully pieced together. Everything feels old and ancient, but somehow modern technology is keeping this place alive. Artificial lighting illuminates the cavernous dimensions. Small monitors are built into the stone walls. I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what to expect. I have no idea what kind of person Castle is, but after spending so much time with Warner, I'm trying not to get my hopes up. I don't even realize I've stopped breathing until he speaks.
"I hope you're enjoying your stay so far."
My neck snaps up to meet his dark eyes, his smooth voice, silky and strong. His eyes are glinting with genuine curiosity, a smattering of surprise. I've forgotten I know how to speak. "Kenji said you wanted to meet me," is the only response I offer.
"Kenji would be correct."
He takes his time breathing, He takes his time shifting in his seat. He takes his time studying my eyes, choosing his words, touching two fingers to his lips. He seems to have dominated the concept of time. Impatience is likely not a word in his vocabulary.
I've heard stories about you.
Smiles.
I simply wanted to know if they were true.
What have you heard? He smiles with teeth so white it looks like snow falling on the chocolate valleys of his face. He opens his hands, studies them for a moment, looks up.
You can kill a man with nothing but your bare skin. You can crush 5 feet of concrete with the palm of your hand.
I'm climbing a mountain of air and my feet keep slipping. I need to get a grip on something.
Is it true?
He asks. Rumors are more likely to kill you than I am. He studies me for too long.
I'd like to show you something,
he says after a moment. I want answers to my questions. This has gone on too long. I don't want to be lulled into a false sense of security. I don't want to assume Adam and James are okay. I don't want to trust anyone until I have proof. I can't pretend like any of this is all right. Not yet. I want to know that I'm safe, I tell him. And I want to know that my friends are safe. There was a 10-year-old boy with us when we arrived, and I want to see him. I need to make certain he is healthy and unharmed. I won't cooperate otherwise. His eyes inspect me a few moments longer.
Your loyalty is refreshing,
he says, and he means it.
You will do well here.
My friends.
Yes, of course.
He's on his feet.
Follow me.
This place is far more complex, far more organized than I'd ever imagined it to be. There are hundreds of different directions to get lost in, almost as many rooms, some bigger than others, each dedicated to different pursuits.
The dining hall,
Castle says to me.
The dormitories.
On the opposite wing.
The training facilities.
Down that hall.
The common rooms.
Right through here.
The bathrooms.
On either end of the floor.
The meeting halls.
Just past that door. Each space is buzzing with bodies, each body adapted to a particular routine. People look up when they see us. Some wave, smile, delighted. I realize they're all looking at Castle. He nods his head. His eyes are kind, humble. His smile is strong, reassuring. He's the leader of this entire movement, is what Kenji said. These people are depending on him for something more than basic survival. This is more than a fallout shelter. This is much more than a hiding space. There is a greater goal in mind, a greater purpose.
Welcome,
Castle says to me, gesturing with one hand.
To Omega Point.
Chapter 46. Omega Point?
The last letter in the Greek alphabet. The final development. The last in a series.
He stops in front of me, and for the first time I notice the Omega symbol stitched into the back of his jacket.
We are the only hope our civilization has left.
But how? With such small numbers, how can you possibly hope to compete?
We've been building for a long time, Juliet.
It's the first time he said my name. His voice is strong, smooth, stable.
We've been planning, organizing, mapping out our strategy for many years now. The collapse of our human society should not come as a surprise. We brought it upon ourselves. The question wasn't whether things would fall apart,
he continues,
only when. It was a waiting game, a question of who would try to take power and how they would try to use it. Fear?
He says to me, turning back for just a moment, his footsteps silent against the stone.
Is a great motivator.
That's pathetic,
I agree. Which is why part of my job is reviving the stalled hearts that have lost all hope.
We turn into another corridor.
And to tell you that almost everything you've learned about the state of our world is a lie.
I stop in place, nearly fall over. What do you mean?
I mean, things are not nearly as bad as the reestablishment wants us to think they are.
But there's no food.
That they give you access to.
The animals
are kept hidden, genetically modified, raised on secret pastures.
But the air, the seasons, the weather
is not as bad as they'll have us believe. It's probably our only real problem, but it's one caused by the perverse manipulations of Mother Earth. Man-made manipulations that we can still fix.
He turns to face me, focuses my mind with one steady gaze.
There is still a chance to change things. We can provide fresh drinking water to all people. We can make sure crops are not regulated for profit. We can ensure that they are not genetically altered to benefit manufacturers. Our people are dying because we are feeding them poison. Animals are dying because we are forcing them to eat waste, forcing them to live in their own filth, caging them together and abusing them. Plants are withering away because we are dumping chemicals into the earth that make them hazardous to our health. But these are things we can fix. We are fed lies because believing them makes us weak, vulnerable, malleable. We depend on others for our food, health, sustenance. This cripples us, creates cowards of our people, slaves of our children. It's time for us to fight back.
His eyes are bright with feeling, his fists clenched in fervor. His words are powerful, heavy with conviction, articulate and meaningful. I have no doubt he's swayed many people with such fanciful thoughts. Hope for a future that seems lost. Inspiration in a bleak world with nothing to offer. He is a natural leader, a talented orator. I have a hard time believing him. How can you know for certain that your theories are correct? Do you have proof? His hands relax, his eyes quiet down, his lips form a small smile.
Of course.
He almost laughs. Why is that funny? He shakes his head just a bit.
I'm amused by your skepticism. I admire it, actually. It's never a good idea to believe everything you hear.
I catch his double meaning, acknowledge it. Touché, Mr. Castle. A pause.
You are French, Ms. Ferrars?
My mother, perhaps. I look away. So where is your proof?
This entire movement is proof enough. We survive because of these truths. We seek out food and supplies from the various storage compounds the reestablishment has constructed. We've found their fields, their farms, their animals. They have hundreds of acres dedicated to crops. The farmers are slaves, working under the threat of death to themselves or their family members. The rest of society is either killed or corralled into sectors, sectioned off to be monitored, carefully surveyed.
I keep my face blank, smooth, neutral. I still haven't decided whether or not I believe him. And what do you need with me? Why do you care if I'm here? He stops at a glass wall, points through to the room beyond, doesn't answer my question.
Your Adam is healing because of our people.
I nearly trip in my haste to see him. I press my hands against the glass and peer into the brightly lit space. Adam is asleep, his face perfect, peaceful. This must be the medical wing.
Look closely,
Castle tells me.
There are no needles attached to his body, no machines keeping him alive. He arrived with 3 broken ribs, lungs close to collapsing, a bullet in his thigh. His kidneys were bruised along with the rest of his body. Broken skin, bloodied wrists, a sprained ankle. He's lost more blood than most hospitals would be able to replenish.
My heart is about to fall out of my body. I want to break through the glass and cradle him in my arms.
There are close to 200 people at Omega Point,
Castle says.
Less than half of whom have some kind of gift.
I spin around, stunned.
I brought you here,
he says to me carefully, quietly.
Because this is where you belong. Because you need to know that you are not alone.
Chapter 47. My jaw is dangling from my shoelace.
You would be invaluable to our resistance,
he tells me. There are others? Like me? I can hardly breathe. Castle offers me eyes that empathize with my soul.
I was the first to realize my affliction could not be mine alone. I sought out others, following rumors, listening for stories, reading the newspapers for abnormalities in human behavior. At first it was just for companionship.
He pauses.
I was tired of the insanity, of believing I was inhuman, a monster. But then I realized that what seemed a weakness was actually a strength, that together we could be something extraordinary, something good.
I can't catch my breath. I can't find my feet. I can't cough up the impossibility caught in my throat. Castle is waiting for my reaction. I feel so nervous so suddenly. What is your gift? I ask him. His smile disarms my insecurity. He holds out his hand, cocks his head. I hear the creak of a distant door opening, the sound of air and metal, movement. I turn toward the sound only to see something hurtling in my direction. I duck. Castle laughs, catches it in his hand. I gasp. He shows me the key now caught between his fingers. You can move things with your mind? I don't even know where I found the words to speak.
I have an impossibly advanced level of psychokinesis.
He twists his lips into a smile.
So, yes.
There's a name for it? I think I'm squeaking. I try to steady myself.
For my condition? Yes. For yours?
He pauses.
I'm uncertain.
And the others, what? They're...
You can meet them, if you'd like.
I'd like that, I stammer, excited, 4 years old and still believing in fairies. I freeze at a sudden sound. Footsteps are pounding the stone. I catch the pant of strained breath.
Sir!
Someone shouts. Castle starts, stills, pivots around a corner toward the runner.
Brendan?
Sir!
He pants again.
You have news? What have you seen?
We're hearing things on the radio,
he begins, his broken words thick with a British accent.
Our cameras are picking up more tanks patrolling the area than usual. We think they may be getting closer.
The sound of static energy, static electricity, garbled voices croaking through a weak radio line. Brendan curses under his breath.
Sorry, sir, it's not usually this distorted. I just haven't learned to contain the charges lately.
Not to worry. You just need practice. Your training is going well?
Very well, sir. I have it almost entirely under my command.
Brendan pauses.
For the most part. Excellent. In the meantime, let me know if the tanks get any closer. I'm not surprised to hear they're getting a little more vigilant. Try to listen for any mention of an attack. The re-establishment has been trying to pinpoint our whereabouts for years. But now we have someone particularly valuable to their efforts, and I'm certain they want her back. I have a feeling things are going to develop rather quickly from now on.
A moment of confusion.
Sir? There's someone I'd like for you to meet.
Silence. Brendan and Castle step around the corner, come into view, and I have to make a conscious effort to keep my jaw from unhinging. I can't stop staring. Castle's companion is white from head to toe. Not just his strange uniform, which is a blinding shade of shimmering white, but his skin is paler than mine. Even his hair is so blonde it can only be accurately described as white. His eyes are mesmerizing. They're the lightest shade of blue I've ever seen. Piercing, practically transparent. He looks to be my age. He doesn't seem real.
Brendan, this is Juliet.
Castle introduces us.
She arrived just yesterday. I was giving her an overview of Omega Point.
Brendan's smile is so bright I nearly flinch. He sticks out his hand, and I almost panic before he frowns, pulls back, says,
wait, sorry,
and flexes his hands, cracks his knuckles. A few sparks fly out of his fingers. I'm gaping at him. He shrinks back, smiles a bit sheepishly.
Sometimes I electrocute people by accident.
Something in my heavy armor snaps off, melts away. I feel suddenly understood, unafraid of being myself. I can't help my grin. Don't worry, I tell him. If I shake your hand, I might kill you.
Blimey.
He blinks, stares, waits for me to take it back.
You're serious?
Very. He laughs.
Right then, no touching.
Leans in, lowers his voice.
I have a bit of a problem with that myself, you know. Girls are always talking about electricity in their romance, but none are too happy to actually be electrocuted, apparently. Bloody confusing is what it is.
He shrugs. My smile is wider than the Pacific Ocean. My heart is so full of relief, comfort, acceptance. Adam was right. Maybe things can be okay. Maybe I don't have to be a monster. Maybe I do have a choice. I think I'm going to like it here. Brendan winks.
It was very nice meeting you, Juliet. I'll be seeing you?
I nod. I think so.
Brilliant.
He shoots me another smile, turns to Castle.
I'll let you know if I hear anything, sir. Perfect.
And Brendan disappears. I turn to the glass wall keeping me from the other half of my heart. Press my head against the cool surface. Wish he would wake up.
Would you like to say hello?
I look up at Castle, who is still studying me, always analyzing me. Somehow his attention doesn't make me uncomfortable. Yes, I tell him. I want to say hello. Chapter 48. Castle uses the key in his hand to open the door. Why does the medical wing have to be locked? I ask him. He turns to me. He's not very tall, I realize for the first time.
If you'd known where to find him, would you have waited patiently behind this door?
I drop my eyes, don't answer, hope I'm not blushing. He tries to be encouraging.
Healing is a delicate process. It can't be interrupted or influenced by erratic emotions. We're lucky enough to have two healers among us, a set of twins, in fact. But most fascinating is that they each focus on a different element. One on the physical incapacitations, and one on the mental. Both facets must be addressed. Otherwise, the healing will be incomplete, weak, insufficient.
He turns the door handle.
But I think it's safe for Adam to see you now.
I step inside and my senses are almost immediately assaulted by the scent of jasmine. I search the space for the flowers but find none. I wonder if it's a perfume. It's intoxicating.
I'll be just outside,
Castle says to me. The room is filled with a long row of beds, simply made. All 20 or so of them are empty, except for Adam's. There's a door at the end of the room that probably leads to another space, but I'm too nervous to be curious right now. I pull up an extra chair and try to be as quiet as possible. I don't want to wake him. I just want to know he's okay. I clasp and unclasp my hands. I'm too aware of my racing heart, and I know I probably shouldn't touch him, but I can't help myself. I cover his hand with mine. His fingers are warm. His eyes flutter for just a moment. They don't open. He takes a sudden breath, and I freeze. I almost collapse into tears.
What are you doing?
My neck snaps at the sound of Castle's panicked voice. I drop Adam's hand, push away from the bed, eyes wide, worried. What do you mean?
Why are you... You can touch him?
I never thought I'd see Castle so confused, so perplexed. He's lost his composure, one arm half extended in an effort to stop me. Of course I can touch... I stop, try to stay calm. Kenji didn't tell you.
This young man has immunity from your touch?
Castle's words are whispered, astonished. Yes. I look from him to Adam, still sound asleep. So does Warner.
That's astounding.
Is it?
Very.
Castle's eyes are bright, so eager.
It certainly isn't coincidence. There is no coincidence in these kinds of situations.
He pauses, paces.
Fascinating. So many possibilities, so many theories.
He's not even talking to me anymore. His mind is working too quickly for me to keep up. He takes a deep breath, seems to remember I'm still in the room.
My apologies. Please carry on. The girls will be out soon. They're assisting James at the moment. I must report this new information as soon as possible.
Wait. He looks up.
Yes?
You have theories? I ask him. You know why these things are happening to me?
You mean to us?
Castle offers me a gentle smile. I try not to blush. I manage to nod.
We have been doing extensive research for years,
he says.
We think we have a pretty good idea.
And? I can hardly breathe.
If you should decide to stay at Omega Point, we'll have that conversation very soon, I promise. Besides, I'm sure now is probably not the best time.
He nods at Adam. Oh, I feel my cheeks burn. Of course. Castle turns to leave. But do you think that Adam... The words tumble out of my mouth too quickly. I try to pace myself. Do you think he's... like us, too? Castle pivots back around, studies my eyes.
I think,
he says carefully,
that it is entirely possible.
I gasp.
My apologies, he says, but I really must get going, and I wouldn't want to interrupt your time together.
I want to say yes, sure, of course, absolutely. I want to smile and wave and tell him it's no problem, but I have so many questions, I think I might explode. I want him to tell me everything he knows.
I know this is a lot of information to take in at once.
Castle pauses at the door.
But we'll have plenty of opportunities to talk. You must be exhausted, and I'm sure you'd like to get some sleep. The girls will take care of you. They're expecting you. In fact, they'll be your new roommates at Omega Point. I'm sure they'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
He clasps my shoulders before he goes.
It's an honor to have you with us, Miss Ferrars. I hope you will seriously consider joining us on a permanent basis.
I nod, numb, and he's gone.
We have been doing extensive research for years, he said. We think we have a pretty good idea, he said. We'll have that conversation very soon, I promise. For the first time in my life, I might finally understand what I am, and it doesn't seem possible. And Adam, Adam. I shake myself and take my seat next to him, squeeze his fingers. Castle could be wrong. Maybe this is all coincidence. I have to focus. I wonder if anyone has heard from Warner lately.
Juliet.
His eyes are half open. He's staring at me like he's not sure if I'm real. Adam! I have to force myself to be still. He smiles, and the effort seems to exhaust him.
God, it's good to see you.
You're okay. I grip his hand, resist pulling him into my arms. You're really okay. His grin gets bigger.
I'm so tired. I feel like I could sleep for a few years.
Don't worry, the sedative will wear off soon. I spin around. Two girls with exactly the same green eyes are staring at us. They smile at the same time. Their long brown hair is thick and sticks straight in high ponytails on their heads. They're wearing matching silver bodysuits, gold ballet flats. I'm Sonia, the girl on the left says. I'm Sarah, her sister adds. I have no idea how to tell them apart. It's so nice to meet you, they say at exactly the same time. I'm Juliet, I manage. It's a pleasure to meet you too. Adam is almost ready for release, one says to me. Sonia is an excellent healer, the other one chimes in. Sarah is better than I am, says the first. He should be okay to leave just as soon as the sedative is out of his system, they say together, smiling. Oh, that's great. Thank you so much. I don't know who to look at, who to answer. I glance back at Adam. He seems thoroughly amused.
Where's James?
He asks. He's playing with the other children. I think it's Sarah who says it. We just took him on a bathroom break, says the other. Would you like to see him? Back to Sarah. There are other children? My eyes are as wide as my face. The girls nod at the same time. We'll go get him, they chorus, and disappear.
They seem nice,
Adam says after a moment. Yeah, they do. This whole place seems nice. Sonia and Sarah come back with James, who seems happier than I've ever seen him. Almost happier than seeing Adam for the first time. He's thrilled to be here. Thrilled to be with the other kids. Thrilled to be with the pretty girls who take care of me because they're so nice and there's so much food and they gave me chocolate. Adam, have you ever tasted chocolate? And he has a big bed, and tomorrow he's going to class with the other kids, and he's already excited. I'm so happy you're awake, he says to Adam, practically jumping up and down on his bed. They said you got sick and that you were resting, and now you're awake, so that means you're better, right? And we're safe. I don't really remember what happened on our way here, he admits, a little embarrassed. I think I fell asleep. I think Adam is looking to break Kenji's neck at this point.
Yeah, we're safe,
Adam tells him, running a hand through his messy blonde hair.
Everything is okay.
James runs back to the playroom with the other kids. Sonia and Sarah invent an excuse to leave so we have some privacy. I'm liking them more and more.
Has anyone told you about this place yet?
Adam asks me. He manages to sit up. His sheet slides down, his chest is exposed, his skin is perfectly healed. I can hardly reconcile the image I have in my memory with the one in front of me. I forget to answer his question. You have no scars. I touch his skin like I need to feel it for myself. He tries to smile.
They're not very traditional in their medical practices around here.
I look up. Startled. You know?
Did you meet Castle yet?
I nod, bewildered. He shifts, sighs.
I've heard rumors about this place for a long time. I got really good at listening to whispers, mostly because I was looking out for myself. But in the army, we hear things. Any and all kinds of enemy threats, possible ambushes. There was talk of an unusual underground movement from the moment I enlisted. Most people said it was crap, that it was some kind of garbage concocted to scare people, that there was no way it could be real. But I always hoped it had some basis in truth, especially after I found out about you. I hoped we'd be able to find others with similar abilities, but I didn't know who to ask. I had no connections, no way of knowing how to find them.
He shakes his head.
And all this time, Kenji was working undercover.
He said he was looking for me. Adam nods, laughs.
Just like I was looking for you. Just like Warner was looking for you.
I don't understand, I mumble. Especially now that I know there are others like me. Stronger, even. Why did Warner want me?
He discovered you before Castle did,
Adam says.
He felt like he claimed you a long time ago.
Adam leans back.
Warner's a lot of things, but he's not stupid. I'm sure he knew there was some truth to those rumors, and he was fascinated. Because as much as Castle wanted to use his abilities for good, Warner wanted to manipulate those abilities for his own cause. He wanted to become some kind of superpower.
A pause.
He invested a lot of time and energy just studying you. I don't think he wanted to let that effort go to waste.
Adam? I whisper. He takes my hand.
Yeah?
I don't think he's dead. Chapter 49.
He's not.
Adam turns, frowns at the voice.
What are you doing here?
Wow, what a greeting, Kent. Be careful not to pull a muscle thanking me for saving your ass.
You lied to all of us.
You're welcome.
You sedated my 10-year-old brother.
You're still welcome.
Hey, Kenji. I acknowledge him.
My clothes look good on you.
He steps a bit closer, smiles. I roll my eyes. Adam examines my outfit for the first time. I didn't have anything else to wear, I explain. Adam nods a little slowly, looks at Kenji.
Did you have a message to deliver?
Yeah, I'm supposed to show you where you'll be staying.
What do you mean?
Kenji grins.
You and James are going to be my new roommates.
Adam swears under his breath.
Sorry, bro, but we don't have enough rooms for you and Hot Hands over here to have your own private space.
He winks at me.
No offense.
I have to leave right now.
Yeah, man. I want to go to sleep soon. I don't have all day to wait around for your lazy ass.
Lazy?
I hurry to interrupt before Adam has a chance to fight back. What do you mean you want to go to sleep? What time is it?
It's almost 10 at night. Kenji tells me. It's hard to tell underground, but we all have to try to be aware of the clocks. We have monitors in the hallways, and most of us try to wear watches. Losing track of night and day can screw us up pretty quickly. And now is not the time to be getting too comfortable.
How do you know Warner isn't dead? I ask, nervous.
We just saw him on camera, Kenji says. He and his men are patrolling this area pretty heavily. I managed to hear some of their conversation. Turns out Warner got shot.
I suck in my breath, try to silence my heartbeats.
That's why we got lucky last night. Apparently the soldiers got called back to base because they thought Warner was dead. There was a shift in power for a minute. No one knew what to do, what orders to follow. But then it turned out he wasn't dead, just wounded pretty bad. His arm was all patched up and in a sling.
Kenji adds. Adam finds his voice before I do.
How safe is this place from attack?
Kenji laughs,
Oh, safe as hell. I don't even know how they managed to get as close as they did, but they'll never be able to find our exact location. And even if they do, they'll never be able to break in. Our security is just about impenetrable. Plus, we have cameras everywhere. We can see what they're doing before they even plan it. Doesn't really matter, though, he goes on, because they're looking for a fight, and so are we. We're not afraid of an attack. Besides, they have no idea what we're capable of, and we've been training for this shit forever.
Do you... I pause. Flush. Can you... I mean, do you have a gift, too?
Kenji smiles and disappears. He's really gone. I stand up, try to touch the space he was just standing in. He reappears just in time to jump out of reach.
Hey, whoa, careful. Just because I'm invisible doesn't mean I can't feel anything.
Oh, I pull back, cringe. I'm sorry.
You can make yourself invisible?
Adam looks more irritated than interested.
Just blew your mind, didn't I?
How long have you been spying on me?
Adam narrows his eyes.
As long as I needed to.
But his grin is laced with mischief.
So you're corporeal? I ask.
Look at you using big fancy words.
Kenji crosses his arms, leans against the wall.
I mean, you can't, like, walk through walls or anything, can you?
He snorts.
Nah, I'm not a ghost. I can just... blend, I guess, is the best word. I can blend into the background of any space, shift myself to match my surrounds. It's taken me a long time to figure it out.
Wow.
I used to follow Adam home. That's how I knew where he lived, and that's how I was able to run away because they couldn't really see me. They tried to shoot at me anyway,
he adds, bitter. But I managed not to die, at least.
Wait, but why were you following Adam home? I thought you were looking for me, I ask him.
Yeah, well, I enlisted shortly after we got wind of Warner's big project.
He nods in my direction.
We've been trying to find you, but Warner had more security clearance and access to more information than we did. We were having a hard time tracking you down. Castle thought it would be easier to have someone on the inside paying attention to all the crazy shit Warner was planning. So when I heard that Adam was the main guy involved in this particular project and that he had this history with you, I sent the information to Castle. He told me to watch out for Adam, too. You know, in case Adam turned out to be just as psycho as Warner. We wanted to make sure he wasn't a threat to you or our plans. But I had no idea you'd try to run away together. Mess me the hell up.
We're all silent for a moment.
So how much did you spy on me?
Adam asks him.
Well, 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 Kenji cocks his head. Is Mr. Adam Kent suddenly feeling a little intimidated?
Don't be a jackass. You hiding something? Yeah, my gun.
Hey! Kenji claps his hands together. So, are we ready to get out of here or what?
I need a pair of pants.
Kenji looks abruptly annoyed.
Seriously, Kent? I don't want to hear that shit.
Well, unless you want to see me naked, I suggest you do something about it.
Kenji shoots Adam a dirty look and stalks off, grumbling something about lending people all of his clothes. The door swings shut behind him.
I'm not really naked,
Adam tells me. Oh, I gasp, look up. My eyes betray me. He can't bite back his grin in time. His fingers graze my cheek.
I just wanted him to leave us alone for a second.
I'm blushing through my bones, fumbling for something to say. I'm so happy you're okay. He says something I don't hear. Takes my hand, pulls me up beside him. He's leaning in and I'm leaning in until I'm practically on top of him, and he's slipping me into his arms and kissing me with a new kind of desperation, a new kind of passion, a burning need. His hands are threaded in my hair, his lips so soft, so urgent against mine, like fire and honey exploding in my mouth. My whole body is steaming. Adam pulls back just a tiny bit, kisses my bottom lip, bites it for just a second. His skin is 100 degrees hotter than it was a moment ago. His lips are pressed against my neck, and my hands are on a journey down his upper body, and I'm wondering why there are so many freight trains in my heart, why his chest is a broken harmonica. I'm tracing the bird caught forever in flight on his skin, and I realize for the first time that he's given me wings of my own. He's helped me fly away, and now I'm stuck in centripetal motion, soaring right into the center of everything. I bring his lips back up to mine.
Juliet,
he says. One breath, one kiss, 10 fingers teasing my skin.
I need to see you tonight.
Yes, please. 2 hard knocks send us flying apart. Kenji slams open the door.
You do realize this wall is made of glass, don't you?
He looks like he's bitten the head off a worm.
No one wants to see that.
He throws a pair of pants at Adam, nods to me.
Come on, I'll take you to Sonia and Sarah. They'll set you up for tonight.
Turns to Adam.
And don't ever give those pants back to me.
What if I don't want to sleep?
Adam asks, unabashed.
I'm not allowed to leave my room.
Kenji presses his lips together, narrows his eyes.
I will not use this word often, Kent, but please, don't try any fancy, secret, sneaking away shit. We have to regulate things around here for a reason. It's the only way to survive. So do everyone a favor and keep your pants on. You'll see her in the morning.
But morning feels like a million years from now. Chapter 50. The twins are still asleep when someone knocks. Sonia and Sarah showed me where the girls' bathrooms are, so I had a chance to shower last night. But I'm still wearing Kenji's oversized clothes. I feel a little ridiculous as I pad my way toward the door. I open it. Blink. Hey, Winston. He looks me up and down.
Castle thought you might like to change out of those clothes.
You have something for me to wear?
Yeah, remember, we made you something custom.
Oh, wow, yeah, that sounds great. I slip outside silently, following Winston through the dark halls. The underground world is quiet, its inhabitants still asleep. I ask Winston why we're up so early.
I figured you'd want to meet everyone at breakfast. This way you can jump into the regular routine of things around here, even get started on your training.
He glances back.
We all have to learn how to harness our abilities in the most effective manner possible. It's no good having no control over your body.
Wait, you have an ability too?
There are exactly 56 of us who do. The rest are our family members, children, or close friends who help out with everything else. So, yes, I am one of those 56. So are you.
I'm nearly stepping on his feet in an effort to keep up with his long legs. So what can you do? He doesn't answer, and I can't be sure, but I think he's blushing. I'm sorry, I backpedal. I don't mean to pry. I shouldn't have asked.
It's okay,
he cuts me off.
I just think it's kind of stupid.
He laughs a short, hard laugh.
Of all the things I should be able to do,
he sighs.
At least you can do something interesting.
I stop walking, stunned, horrified. You think this is a competition? To see which magic trick is more twisted? To see who can inflict the most pain?
That's not what I meant. I don't think it's interesting to be able to kill someone by accident. I don't think it's interesting to be afraid to touch a living thing.
His jaw is tense.
I didn't mean it like that. I wish I were more useful. That's all.
I cross my arms. You don't have to tell me if you don't want to. He rolls his eyes, runs a hand through his hair.
I'm very flexible,
he says. It takes me a moment to process his admission. Like
You can bend yourself into a pretzel?
Sure, or stretch myself if I need to.
I'm gawking so openly I must be embarrassing myself. Can I see? He bites his lip, readjusts his glasses, looks both ways down the empty hall, and loops one arm around